They gave themselves to the apostles' doctrine because it's the source of everything else. It's the Bible that teaches us how to love. It's the Bible that teaches us motivation for singing. It's the Bible that teaches us how to get involved and interface with the community. It's the Bible that teaches us how to raise children, attitudes, everything. That's number one on the list of what they practiced as they were glorifying God.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on His word. Make a connection. A connection.
We continue with our series, Church Who Needs It, with Pastor Skip Heitzig here on The Connection today. So welcome. You know, depending on what survey you look at, there are around 68,000 to 100,000 churches in the U.S. Now, faced with that many different choices, it's no wonder some people have a hard time deciding where to go to church. But what about Jesus? If He had to choose from the thousands of churches available, what church would He go to? After all, if we knew the kind of place Jesus would go, wouldn't that make our choices easier? Well, today in The Connection, Skip will explore that a bit more. But first, here's how he connects you with Passion Worship this month.
People are obsessed with making their mark on the world. But in the end, the only legacy worth leaving is the one that points to Jesus Christ. Why not start building that legacy today? With this month's Connection Resource Package, you'll get Pastor Skip Heitzig's book, Godprint, a study of how God used Abraham to make a lasting impression on the earth. You'll also receive Passion Worship Band's latest album, Take It All, a collection of moving anthems about the Savior. Also included is an exclusive interview between Pastor Skip and several Passion Worship members, including Brad Jones.
You can live for the temporary, or you can live for what will last forever. And if you objectively look at it, my one brief life, I want to choose what will last forever.
This package is yours for any donation amount to The Connection. So call us today at 1-800-922-1888. 1-800-922-1888. Or order at connectiononline.org/offers.
Now, if you haven't taken time to contact us, do so today. We're always encouraged to hear how God is using these broadcasts to change lives. You can write us at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199, or send us an email to mystory@connectiononline.org. You know, thousands of churches, hundreds of denominations, countless numbers of traditions and rituals. How do we pare all that down to the essentials and create a church Jesus would want to be at? Stay with us to find out more today.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on His word. Make a connection.
Open your Bibles or Bible apps to John chapter 17. Let's join Skip Heitzig as he talks more about the church Jesus would attend.
It's noteworthy to me that high on the list of what's important in a church gathering or in gathering together, that's what's on the most important list, is the Word of God. I say it's interesting to me because that's not always on many people's most important list in finding a church. What's often on the list is how close is it to where I live, and do they have programs for my children, etc., etc. But in many people's view, finding the truth of God preached undiluted, undistorted, is not high on the list. It is high on Jesus' list. Why? Because the Word of God is the source of all truth. It's the source of all truth. Look at verse 17. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Now, that explains a lot. It explains why we do what we do. Skip, how come every time I come, it's the same? You sing a few songs, and you talk, and you talk, and you keep talking and preaching and opening the Bible. Can't you mix it up and have a raffle one day, or interpretive dance one day? Just picturing that is frightening, isn't it? There was an article in the Albuquerque Journal some time back. I cut it out. I won't read the article to you, but I just want to read the heading of the article. Ready? Church, a trendy place for singles seeking dates. Man, that puts a whole spin on things. Church, a trendy place for singles seeking dates. Well, Jesus said, go into all nations and make disciples of them, teaching them to observe whatever I have commanded you. So here's Jesus anticipating his followers and the church that he will build, and the glory of God and the truth of God are high on his list. And that's exactly what we find when we turn to the book of Acts. We find his prayer being answered. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, a text that we're going to uncover in more detail later on. And they gave themselves continually to the apostles' doctrine, breaking of bread, prayer, or fellowship and prayer. Those are the four things they gave themselves to. What was one on the list? Number one on the list? The apostles' doctrine. They gave themselves continually to the apostles' doctrine. Why was that number one on the list? Why doesn't it say, and they gave themselves number one to love? Or they gave themselves number one to singing? Or they gave themselves number one to community improvement? You want to know why? Because they gave themselves to the apostles' doctrine because it's the source of everything else. It's the Bible that teaches us how to love. It's the Bible that teaches us motivation for singing. It's the Bible that teaches us how to get involved and interface with the community. It's the Bible that teaches us how to raise children, attitudes, everything. That is number one on the list of what they practiced as they were glorifying God. That's what they gave themselves to. So, the church that Jesus would attend is one that radiates the glory of God and reveals the truth of God. But I don't want to just stop with that. We'll uncover the next two next week. I want to show you what will happen, what truth produces. Look at verse 13. It produces joy. Jesus continues in his prayer, verse 13, but now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they being the disciples, that's the antecedent, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. You follow? Jesus gave them truth words from the Father. And having received those words, they became really joyful, even though the world hated them and hassled them. So, how can a person have joy in the midst of a world that by and large doesn't love God and doesn't love those who stand up for the truth of God? How do you find joy surrounded by that? How do you be a joyful person in the midst of a world that's falling apart? Answer, the word, truth. It brings joy. There's basically only two types of people. There's people of the world, and there's people of the word. And they're very different from one another. People of the world have a sense of happiness from time to time, but it's circumstantial. It might go up, it might go down. Things are good today, I'm happy. Things are bad tomorrow, I'm really bummed out. That's how it works. They're prisoners to their circumstances because the circumstances change, like always. But people of the word can have a sense of joy that is the same and sometimes even increasing in the worst of situations because the one their trust is in Jesus Christ, who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. There's a huge difference between just happiness that goes up and down and joy. Joy. What's your joy like? Does joy mark you? Well, if it's rooted in truth, it definitely will. And here's why. As we expose ourselves to truth and read the word, we discover that there's something a lot better than this present world up ahead. That makes us joyful. That's what's going to happen after we're gone from here. And in the meantime, we have plenty of promises and resources to sustain us right now till we get there. All of that brings joy. Jesus said in John 16, in the world you will have trouble. You can underline that in your Bible. In the world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. You see the difference between the person of the world and the person of the Word? The person of the world, they're like a thermometer. They just register what's going on. They go up or down. The person of the Word is like a thermostat. They set it. They set that pace. They set the temperature. It's an ever-fixed mark of joy. Let me just brag a little bit about you. One of the things I love so much about you is your joy. You're fanatics, honestly. You guys are a bunch of fanatics. You get happy about worship. You get happy about Bible study. You clap at a sermon. Maybe you're just happy it's over. I don't know, but you get excited over it. And it's wonderful to see. And I've had guest speakers who come here and go, okay, your church is like the best church to be a guest speaker at. The people are so into the Word. They're so excited about it. And you should be. You should be. And you are. Charles Spurgeon said, our happy God should be worshipped by a happy people. A cheerful people is in keeping with His nature and His acts. You know what's produced that joy in you? The Scripture. Scripture reveals to you God's plan and God's promises and heaven and all of the future and all of the resources till then. And it's produced in you an abiding sense of joy and the outward expression as well. Psalm 119. I'm just going to read a few verses to you. Happy are the people who follow the law of the Lord. Happy are those who obey His decrees and search for Him with all their hearts. Make me walk along the path of Your commands, for that is where my happiness is found. That's why the joy is there. Interesting, a Tyndale Publishers, a publisher that I worked with for years, put out a poll some years back and published some results, and they found, and I'm quoting, 90% of Bible readers feel at peace all or most of the time, as compared to 58% who read less than once a month. Now that's fascinating. They feel at peace all or most of the time, a much greater percentage. Also, 92% of frequent Bible readers report knowing a clear purpose and meaning for their life, whereas only 69% of infrequent Bible readers report the same. So let me tell you, the church that Jesus would attend is the place where joy-producing truth is proclaimed. Also, and finally, and we'll close, truth produces not just joy, but holiness. Holiness. Verse 15. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Now, there's another religious-sounding word, sanctification, sanctify. It's a good word. Don't lose that word. It means to be holy. It means to be separate. In particular, to be separate from sin, to be different from. How different are you from the world? Well, if you're a person of the Word, you're very different from the world. Your values are different. So here's the gist of what Jesus is praying to His Father here. Father, the world is deceptive, it's powerfully evil, but You can purify them through Your Word. How does that work? How does it work? Well, here's how it works. When we expose ourselves to truth, something happens. Now, you'll track as soon as I describe what happens. Sometimes you read it, and it's so comforting. You read a promise and you go, oh, I needed that so much right now in my life. That's so comforting to me. Other times you read it and it doesn't comfort you. It confronts you. And you go, ooh, I don't like that. I'm not gonna underline that verse. No, I'm not gonna memorize that verse. That's real personal, that verse. Sometimes it comforts, sometimes it confronts. Or as one person put it, sometimes the Bible will comfort the afflicted and other times it will afflict the comfortable. We know what that's like. You know, I've even had people, I kid you not, at least five, maybe seven times in my years as a preacher, teacher, people have come up to me accusing me of following them through the week. Or of receiving a phone call from their wife or husband or somebody who told me about them and I'm directing my sermon at them that day. And I will say, with all due respect, sir or ma'am, I don't even know you, let alone have the time to follow you through the week. What is happening? The truth is cutting, confronting, working. It's what Hebrews 4 describes. The Word of God is living. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Now, can I just say, I believe that every good sermon should do that. I believe every good sermon should, at some point, cut and confront. Not for the sake of cutting, not for the sake of pain, not just for the sake of inducing guilt, but to cut away those things which are displeasing to the Lord. That's why Paul said to young Timothy, a man just starting in the ministry, Timothy, preach the word of God. Be persistent whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. Get the balance there. Encouragement, rebuking, admonishment, all together. Now, can I just, before we close, say, let that happen. Let that happen. Don't be the kind of listener who says, I only like it when the sermons make me feel really good about myself. That's shallow. You can get that in a good movie. Let God, through the Holy Spirit, have His way. So even if it's like, oh, man, let it happen. Let it happen. Let him cut. Let him cleanse. Jesus said to his disciples, now you are clean. And it means katharizo, to cut away and cleanse. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. In conclusion, a church that Jesus would attend is one where God is glorified by declaration, by praise, where it's about Him more than anything else, and also one in which the congregation responds to the truth by a holy lifestyle. Glory and truth. I read an article that made me very sad. As I tell you, you'll understand why. True story. Couple in, I think, Boston, if I remember correctly, had a little baby, invited friends over for a christening party for their child. The baby was placed on the bed in the guest room, and it was a flurry of activity as their friends came and they walked in the guest room and threw their coat on the bed, not recognizing the baby was there, and then another coat, and then another coat, and another coat, and a pile of coats, and the baby died. And I think it was the Boston newspaper the next day that told about the baby that was smothered to death at his own party. I sometimes think that God is smothered at His own party. I sometimes think that some want to make a big party about everything but God in His glory. And so, two things to walk away with, two charges this morning. Number one, learn to glorify God. Learn to glorify God. When we gather together and we're engaging in worship, if it's worship, engage. Engage. Fully engage. Fully declare. And then go out and make Him famous. Declare Him out there. And second, Let the Word of God produce in you the kind of real joy, better than the superficial happiness of the world that goes up and down, true abiding joy, even in the worst of times, and let it do its work of comforting and confronting.
Well, now that you know a little bit more about what sort of church Jesus would attend, where will you go to church? Some of you may already go to a church, but what do you do there? It's our hope that you'll do just what Skip Heitzig suggested and not just go to church, but be actively involved in it. Well, we'll let you know how to get a copy of today's teaching, but before we do, here's Skip and Lenya to talk a bit more about how the church can show God's love. Skip?
Okay, so today we learned that one of the qualities that characterizes a church is how God's people rally around His love. And last year, I'm happy to say, we launched an initiative with the goal to share God's love with little ones, children affected by terrorism. I'm here with my wife, Lenya. And Lenya, I want you to explain to us a little bit about what is called Reload Love and give us some updates.
Reload Love is an organization, a lovement that we hope to arm children with hope, specifically kids caught in the crossfire.
Okay, stop right there. You said a word that it's a different word, lovement. Is that like a movement of love?
Yes, it is. We have movements, and this is a lovement. Sometimes we can feel today that there is this evil movement, whether it's ISIS or Al-Qaeda or Boko Haram and these horrible things, and it's all fomenting and building, and they're coming for us. And what if there was a wave of love, a lovement coming in the other direction, because God is love and He wants us to love one another? What if that wave of God's love could meet up with that evil and overcome it? You know, it says when the enemy comes in like the flood, the Lord raises a standard of righteousness.
And overcome evil with good.
That's right. So that's the intent. And so I think some of the people falling through the cracks are these children of terror, you know, babies of terror, that they're conned in these places. They've done nothing wrong, but just the wrong place, the wrong time. And so I would want, and I believe God wants us to take care of widows and orphans and oppressed. And so anyway, I got this idea to reclaim spent bullet casings, make them into beautiful brass charms, and that the proceeds would go to help babies in conflict, specifically terrorism.
And you've done that.
Yeah, we've been able to help in Cambodia, a school build a playground. And we've also sent a lot of money to Burma. There's an ongoing 65-year conflict. The Burmese army is ethnically cleansing all the people. And so there are over 600,000 internally displaced people throughout the nation of Burma. These are kids who are, you know, raped, pillaged, burned, chased from their villages. And then the Burmese army puts landmines so they cannot return. And so we work with an organization who runs to these kids, rescues these kids, and then gives them a VBS. You said it's kind of like Rambo with a, you know,
with a VBS.
And so we've been able to really help this organization take these programs to the refugees on the run. And we're very excited that Reload Love is now sponsoring a flight in to the Kurdish area, Kurdistan.
In Iraq, in Erbil.
And we have a plane load of clothing for kids for this winter. And so we want to arm these children in terror with hope. And, you know, just ask that your audience pray for us. We're trying to go to the front lines of terror and bring hope. And, you know, terror is motivated by fear and hate. And we would love to meet it. I think terror is the problem and love is the answer.
That's good.
And so we want to bring this love to those people. And they can give and they can check out our website at reloadlove.com and really make an impact now, today, in this world with kids who are caught in the crossfire of terrorism.
And I love the fact that here in a world where you have one ideology persecuting believers, our brothers and sisters in Iraq, we see the news reports, we hear about it, but we kind of put our arms up thinking, what can we do about it? Here's something you are doing about it, and we can all join in with that flight of clothing and supplies to these children.
Well, as you know, some of the latest, oldest Christians, the Nasrani, who are from Nineveh, they've been beheaded and crucified in this region. And so isn't it time that God's body reaches out to those that are being hurt somewhere else?
Well, thanks, Lenya. And the ReloadLove.com website is where you get more information. And if you'd like a copy of today's teaching, The Church Jesus Would Attend, get in touch with us. It's available on CD for just $6 when you call 1-800 972-1888 or when you visit connectiononline.org/radio. We enjoy hearing from our listeners, so if this ministry has made an impact in your life, let us know that. You can write The Connection at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. Or just send us an email to mystory@connectiononline.org. You can also help us further the gospel around the world when you give financially at connectiononline.org/give. And thanks for your support of The Connection. Next time, Skip continues the message, The Church Jesus Will Attend. So we hope you can join us here on The Connection, a presentation of Connection Communications.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on His wood. Make a connection. A connection. A connection.
Connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.